Hello again and welcome to another episode of BitNote. We'll be playing video game music and talking a bit about the games that they're from. I hope you have a good time. So, what game am I going to start off this show by talking about? Well, it's a good one. It's one I just discovered recently and haven't finished playing it, but that's okay because the game developers haven't finished making it yet. You see, it's kind of this interesting trend that's popped up in video games. In the past, you'd obviously get a game after it's been finished production, but these days, you can actually start playing a game before they've finished playing it themselves. And what's more, there's a lot of games out there where you pay for the game before the game is being finished developed. This is the model that Minecraft used, the incredibly successful indie game, which I will go into more detail about in another show, but it's also become very popular because a lot of the time people just don't have the money earlier on to develop the game to its completion, and the traditional model is that you get someone to give you money in return for a share of the profits. But with this sort of indie, what's called alpha funding system, you get money from the customers before the game is finished. So you get a bit of their money, they get to play the game early before everyone else does, and in return you get money to finish the game, and then of course give this finished and final copy to all the people who support you so far, and then hopefully attract a new audience with all the people who were waiting until it was finished before they played it. It doesn't work with all games. There's some guys who make frictional games who make this horror games that strongly believe that, you know, a game is a single unitary component, you can't just sell it off piecemeal, but of course they make very story driven games with very interactive elements, so it's okay, it's understandable in their case. But for a lot of games there might be an element of gameplay or a nice scenario that it goes up, and it just works a lot better if you can give people a sense of this, to let people play the game even before it's finished, to give them glimpses of what the final game will be like and let them enjoy it, and then maybe even take on board their suggestions. And then you can keep developing the game to the final thing and hope that everyone's happy with it in the end. Well, that's a long roundabout way to talk about the game that I'm going to talk about now, which is Factorio. And before I been talking, I think I'll play the music from the intro, which is a very nice ambient kind of relaxing sort of slightly techno or something. I really, as I said before, I'm not good with music genres, but basically it's got a nice intro and music, and so here's some of it, and I'll talk a bit more about the game itself then. We'll be right back. So it's a nice tune. It kind of works with the sort of like somewhat cerebral effect you've got in the game. And unfortunately, I don't know who made that music. I've been actually looking at their websites in the game itself, and I sort of left this till last minute before the show, so I couldn't send an email to the developers to ask for clarification. But there's also some background music in the game that works pretty well. And without further ado, let's dive into the game itself. Factorio is about building factories. It's something that I've wanted to have in games all this time. The idea is you basically have to set up all these machines, and starting with the mining equipment that gets the mining ore, and then the smelting equipment which turns the ore into metal, then all the fabrication equipment that, you know, takes all these raw materials and converts them into different products. You have to take all these machines, arrange them in a layout, and then hook them up with conveyor belts and mechanical arms that move all the pieces around through this whole factory setting to finally manufacture all the items that you want, which in my experience has been either hugely useful items or weapons to fight the aliens on the hostile enemy planet you're stranded on. That's kind of the basis of the game. You've been stranded on an alien planet, and all you have to do is your own survival skills, your own wit, and your ability to construct complex pieces of machinery on your own with very little resources. Now, the game kind of starts a little like Minecraft, which, as I said, I'll talk about in another show. But, you know, because you dig up some metal ore, then you dig up some stone, then you create a furnace, then you put the iron ore in, and then you smelt it until you get iron plates. You know, you also got to dig up coal for that. And then you take the iron plates and you make them into something. But pretty soon the game says, listen, constantly having to mine the ore, constantly having to put it into the smelter, this is all boring. Why don't you just make a machine that does this whole thing for you? And that's sort of how the game develops. You make a drilling machine very quickly, put it down on top of the ore, and then it all comes out one set. And then you set up a conveyor belt that brings the ore to the smelter. And then you set up this robotic arm that takes all the ore and puts it into the smelter. And then you do the same thing for coal. So you've got another arm that takes it off the conveyor belt for coal and puts it into the smelter. And then you've got it automatically. You've got this whole supply of iron ore and coal to bring it to your smelter. And then you've got a third robotic arm that'll take out the finished iron plates and put it into a chest. And that's just the beginning. I mean, I love constructing games. I love creating like a whole complex system. And I mean, this game is all about just... And then you've got to... This game is constantly... You have to develop and manufacture more and more things. So you have to set up more automated drilling platforms. You have to set up power plants to power some of the equipment. You've got to set up more arms to move things to everything else. And one of the interesting parts about the game is you've got to manage where your conveyor belt goes. Because if you know anything about factories and construction lines, you know there has to be like a pipeline. There's a process. It goes down, it goes from one machine to the next. Sometimes the materials are combined. And you're just looking at down, you know, got a top-down view of this great big 2D area plane. And you just have to try to arrange all the machines and all the stuff in the best order possible, but also in the best layout possible. So everything's as automated as possible and you don't have to do any work. For instance, often aliens have to attack your... Often aliens try to attack your factory. So your options are to either fight them off yourself, but, you know, that's boring. So you set up some gun turrets and put some ammunition into it. And that's fine, but then you suddenly realize you have to go manually and take some of your own ammunition and put it in and manually reload all the gun turrets. So that's kind of annoying. So after, like, a couple of hours of playing, getting more experience and developing how it goes, I basically ended up having this whole system whereby the iron plates would be taken, put on a conveyor belt, brought to a couple of fabricating machines that would take the iron ore, convert them into ammunition, put that on the conveyor belt, and this conveyor belt would take the ammo to all the different turrets, and robotic arms would automatically load up the turrets. So it's just, when you got that system down, when you just take that moment to stand back and go, look at what I've created, this wondrous machine, this gigantic creation that operates by itself. It's like, you know, it is all automated. It is just this great thing that it exists just to produce and to mine the precious resources of this alien planet I am on. And I could just sit back and just watch as the chests fill more and more with all the materials and weapons that I need. And it just all feels glorious. I mean, it's not the first video game to ever deal with resource managing. Something as early as like a... you know, Command and Conquer dealt with mining resources in order to make weapons and all. But this is completely different. This is where you're able to, like, fine-tune all the different aspects, figure out the system and everything. And, I mean, I haven't even scratched the surface of all the things you can develop. You've also got labs, and you also have to set up systems for making sure the labs have the right material to manufacture stuff. And it's just... It's not only that, it's just you have to just figure out all the machines, and then sometimes you realize I've got too much of one material, but I don't have enough of this material, so you try to rearrange the whole pipeline, try to repurpose some of the machines and remove and change around things, and so it can either work like a brilliant machine or just a catastrophic mess that just still makes what you want, so it still works anyway, so... And then you get more items. So it's just great having everything come together. I haven't really even touched the surface of this game. It's like I said, the game isn't even finished developing yet. I've seen some screenshots where they're trying to implement stuff like trains and everything. So it's going to go whole industrial age on us. So it's really exciting to see how the game is going to develop forward. And it's more exciting given the fact that it's quite possible that game development may have stalled and ended completely. I was following some of the blogs, and what happened was essentially they had been developing this full time for a while, but they were running out of money. So they decided the best thing to do was start up a crowdfunding campaign. And so that's basically where you say, okay, we're trying to raise this amount of money in this amount of time, and if we do, the money, we'll get the money and we'll make it, and if we don't, well, and you'll get your money back and we'll just have to improvise. So they set up a crowdfunding campaign on Indiegogo, and they tried to aim €17,000 and in about 30 days, and they started up and not much happened. There was nothing. They didn't. For 5 days, absolutely no activity, nothing. They weren't really getting any money. And they suddenly realized, you know, that's the thing that pretty much any creator wonders. You know, what if what we're making isn't that good? What if no one wants to play our game? I mean, how do we know that this game's good? We kind of like it, but what about everyone else? And so they were sighed and they realized, well, maybe we should give up, you know, release it, move on to other things. I mean, it's been good. So, I mean, pragmatically, that was... leaving it may have been the right answer for them. But something kind of happened. One guy made a post on a blog about the game and just explained it, and it got a bit of interest, and suddenly a bit of money got donated. Not much, but enough. They were thinking, okay, this is good. And then they tried to promote it a little more, and then suddenly they managed to get a bit more promotion to it. I mean, they realized themselves they hadn't done that good a job promoting it, but they got a word out and more people, and they started to receive a few comments, people saying, boy, this is really good, or people saying that this is pretty exciting. And they were heartened. I mean, you know, they weren't exactly flooding in donations, but I mean, like, or pledges. They're not really donations because people are getting something in return for them. But they were suddenly saying, oh, this is good. And they suddenly started realizing that, you know, the feedback they were getting, the people who were saying, please don't quit the game, were saying about, oh, I've spent like 30 hours, because this is the key thing. They actually, like I said, they had a free demo which anyone could download, and then alpha access, which after you're pledging, you get more access. But so that was a vital part, the fact that people could actually play it and not rely on screenshots or demos or anything. But they were getting all this feedback, and they were saying, wait, you know, people are liking this. You know, people are saying like they're playing tens of hours, or they were sharing words of it or getting excited from it. And some people were even like making a lot of YouTube videos and stuff, you know, talking through it, giving a quick run through of the game. And especially since some people who like Minecraft, and boy, there's whole communities of Minecraft fans and YouTube that like to watch various video channels. But I mean, suddenly everyone was getting pretty excited about the game and everything. And you know, the developers felt great about this. I mean, you know, the money wasn't exactly flooding in. It was increasing, all right. They were in better chance of hitting their goal. But the great thing about them was knowing that what they'd worked on was worthwhile, that people were actually enjoying what they worked, that, you know, they weren't just crazy. They weren't just working on something in isolation. Other people really appreciated what they were doing, and they really wanted to play more of that. And they were just heartened by this. And they, you know, realized, you know, we're going to keep at this, you know, try to do more PR and everything and get more interested. But that the important thing that they'd realized was that in some ways they knew now that this game was solid, that this game was something behind it. They had something there that people really, really liked. And whatever would happen, they'd do their best to complete the game. And that's great. Great to hear. Because it's somehow that motivation, knowing that, you know, when you're working on your own, it can be so scary. But to know that other people were appreciate it, it's a great feeling. Right now, the game has about another 15 grand to raise, with about another 2 weeks to go. So, yeah, wish them the best of luck. And yes, I guess I'm partially talking all about this game to hope that a couple more people donate to it and it reaches its funding goal. But listen, let's The important thing here is that there's a cool game out there that does things that haven't quite been done this way before, does something that's really exciting, and it should be supported. Well, at least I think so. If you want to go to the page and don't think it's good at all, feel free to not donate. I won't be able to do anything about it because I'll never know that you did it in the first place. Moving on. Let's play some music. And what you just heard there was the Windmill Song. It is from the game Klonoa Door to Phantomile by Namco. And the music was composed by among one of the following. It's kind of tricky. The credits just lump all of these under sound. So I'm just going to list them all. And I'm sure I'm covering some of the people who actually did that song. So the list is Eriko Imura, Junko Ozawa, Kaneko Kanino, Tetsuraza Nakashii, Kota Takahashi, Hiroshi Okubo, Hiromo Shibano, Tokumo Tatsuya, and or Taki Horigomo. And apologize if I mispronounced anyone's names there, it's just a little tricky. So, Klonoa. This is actually a game I found by chance. I'd heard a lot about Klonoa. It's kind of one of those characters or game series that seems bright and colorful and everyone's, you'd think everyone would like it, but it just never seems to achieve the you know, popularity or well knowledge that you'd expect to. But Klonoa was first released in the late 90s for the Sony PlayStation, and I just recently rediscovered it on the PlayStation Network on the Sony PS PlayStation 3. It turns out you can download a lot of old classic games by just, you know, hooking your console up to the internet and just going on to the online shops and downloading games. And when it turned out I could purchase and download the original Klonoa game for the PlayStation and play it immediately on my PS3, I just went ahead and did it, and I'm really, really happy I did so. Klonoa is set in a bright, colourful world. You're control this like little cat-like creature who's with big eyes and like a who's basically a kind of a bit of a kid with a kiddie disposition, and he's this friend called Hu Pao, who's basically a wind spirit that lives in his ring. And at the start of the game, something crashes into the bell tower in the background, and you're basically in the wind village, which is this village made up of with all these people around this great big windmill. And so you must go and investigate what crashed into the tower. So you jump off, and to that song that you just heard, you see this bright and colorful, you walk through this bright and colorful environment with all these enemies attacking you. But don't worry, because you use your ring with Hu Pao, the wind spirit, and you just use it to get the enemies inflated so that they can't move, and then you pick them up and you throw them around and just bounce and jump and run through the level. It's the game mechanics are very, very simple. I mean, literally, there's the controls, you know, control stick on the left for just moving left and right, and there are two buttons, one for jumping and one for just shooting the wind spirit. And it's just great seeing so many games where there's like, sometimes modern control pads have been compared to helicopter controls due to how complex they are. And while I'm a gamer, so I don't really mind it and can usually deal with it, it's just great to just go back to a game that's just got such a simple, straightforward interface. And the game really takes advantage of it. Basically, it involves picking up enemies and throwing them. But it's not that simple, though. Sometimes if you jump in midair and throw them, the enemy goes shooting down and you go up in the air. So maybe you can catch another enemy while you're in the air and then shoot that down below you. Or maybe you could jump it left to the right, or maybe sometimes you can even throw it forward and back. I mean, each level comes up with new different ways of doing it, but it never feels stressed. I mean, a lot of games these days, what they do is they give you a special skill and you go through with the skill and it's all okay, but then it gets boring. So what the game does, throw you a new skill and you use that skill and the game's interesting while you figure out how to do it. But then the game continues and it turns out, oh wait, you're getting bored of that too, so they give you a new skill. I mean, Advent Rising did this a lot towards the second half, and it actually made it pretty interesting. But a lot of games do this, and it's just great to go with Klonoa and know that the skills you have at the beginning of the game are the exact same as the skills that you have at the end of the game. And it's the levels and the design and the continuous situation and your own improvement of the skill that makes the whole experience enjoyable. And while you're making your way through the enemies, you've got bright, colourful environments, you've got jungles, you've got, like I said, the windmill village, which is nice and green, you've got strange, like, areas and situations that are floating in the sky, and great views of the clouds. And the whole thing is wrapped up in kind of like this sort of like 2.5D sort of gameplay, where you move back left and right and jump up and down like a standard 2D platformer. But everything's rendered in 3D, and the path you take twists and turns, and you get great views of the environment, and there's just a lot of clever ways that it's used. I've been gaming for a while, and before playing Klonoa, I didn't even realize that, you know, you could be this inventive with how 2.5D gameplay is used. It was just a lot of fun, and there's a lot of challenges, and behind it all, there's just a rather charming story. I mean, it's a little cliche. Basically, there's this bad guy, and he wants bad things to happen to pretty much, not specifically you, but the entire world that you live in. And basically, you're sort of like a kid with an optimistic disposition who goes out and says, you know, I gotta stop this. And you and your friend Hu Pao go around and you pick up, you know, defeat all the enemies, and you deal with all these sometimes jocular and sometimes, you know, almost silly, you know, situations. But it's just got a lot of fun. It's very charming, and the game actually also has a bit of a heart at times. There are a couple of times it really just goes for a more emotional feeling, and it just gives the game a little more depth and a feeling that there's, you know, more to the game than just what's on the surface, and I really, really like that. But I think the game just really succeeds at just knowing that sometimes it's just having a simple scenario doesn't mean that it can't be interesting and involving and really grabbing. I mean, like I said, it's a simple storyline, it's a simple gameplay mechanics, but I just love how everything's put together. I love the experience, I love the art, I love the music, and I love the characters. And I just think that Klonoa is a great game, and it's great that we've had the opportunity to go back to these games, because it's honestly sometimes very difficult to play these retro games. I honestly sometimes feel a little guilty about playing music from games that I loved playing and that I think you guys would enjoy out there, but then knowing that it's just so hard to actually get and play those games in real life. So thanks to Sony for putting that class, and Namco specifically, who make the game, for putting that game up for future generations to enjoy. There was actually a remake for the Nintendo Wii, but I haven't actually played that, so I don't know. Sometimes I'm a little bit of a purist and prefer the original version. It depends. So on that note, I think it's time to wrap up the show. I'll leave you with a song from towards the end of Klonoa. It's called Lefice's Song. It actually is kind of very plot-relevant song. In fact, a lot of the game is about you trying to make sure that this song gets sung. And I don't want to give away too much more than that. It's beautiful, and it takes place during a moment where something pops up that you'd honestly wouldn't quite expect. So for now, I'll leave you with that song. This has been David Collins with BitNote. You can follow us on Twitter at BitNoteFM. You can also listen to previous episodes on DublinSouthFM.ie. And we've also got our own website at BitNoteFM.com, where you can download all the previous episodes I've ever made. So, this has been David Collins with BitNote. Thank you for listening.